Greetings, this is James Goon with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're also broadcasting on eSETI Stargate, where you can interact with the producer and myself and several other people live. It's a great way to interact and answer a lot of questions. We also are growing rapidly. We've got, I think, something like 40 countries now. I lost track. I think it was 44 countries and somewhere around 90 affiliates. It's just going nuts. So things are really taking off with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're also working on some major projects with the Edge of Wonder Boys. So stay tuned for that. I just did an interview with them, and that's going to be up really soon. There's so much going on, I don't even know where to start, but I just got back from the Star Knowledge Conference, the 11-11 conference, and I've got the person that pretty much orchestrated the thing, put it together with a lot of help, and she's like one of the main organizers of the Star Knowledge Conference, and her name's Jen Berryhill, and she's in Integrative and transformational coach, alchemist, priestess, Sundance supporter, self-love advocate, and seeker of truth. She is the event organizer and speaker at the Star Knowledge Conference held throughout Turtle Island, United States. Jen's spiritual awakening began with the conception of her son, Blaze, which put her on an intense healing journey, leading her to the discovery of her own unique brilliance in the face of sudden and traumatic heartbreak. Jen will inspire you to reclaim your magnificence, walk with courage and confidence, and live with your heart wide open. So without any further ado, I want to bring Jen on the show. Jenny, are you with us?
I am here. It is such an honor and joy to be with you tonight. Thank you so much.
Great. I had such an awesome time at the Star Knowledge Conference that I thought it would be a great idea to talk about some of the events that transpired there. And also, you know, talk about your work as well. So, you know, for people that haven't been to the Star Knowledge Conference and have never seen something like that, how would you explain the Star Knowledge Conference?
Yeah, so it's so monumental, it's almost hard to put into words. So generally, like, the gist of what we do is we gather, and this is all founded on the teachings of Chief Golden Light Eagle, and he's a teacher of the Starways. He's one of the original code carriers of Turtle Island, North America. He's the Nakota Sundance Chief and a member of the Nakota Ihonktuwan Band in South Dakota. You know, he's a spiritual advisor, and he's one of the seven Sundance Chiefs out in Yankton Sioux. And he started these conferences back in 1996 after, you know, he went through ceremony to decipher some of these symbols that he received that came to him through like the crashes on the ships. And so through the way of ceremony, he was able to bring these interpretations of these sacred symbols to, you know, formulate a book, which is called the Makawachakpe Wachoha, also known as the Symbols Book, and it's the 11-11 teachings. And so, you know, his whole purpose right now is just to continue to gather and bring these teachings forward, you know, under the guise that, you know, there's no more secrets anymore. Like, this information is universal, and it's time for us all to start working with these ways, you know, if it aligns with you, what you're seeking, and, you know, your truth. So we gather, and we call them the Star Knowledge Conference, but it's just so much more than that. You know, we bring some amazing speakers on board, you know, James Gilliland, of course, and we had this year with us Laura Eisenhower, Chief Golden Light Eagle, myself. A lot of our speakers, you know, are channelers. They're alternative healers. We've got light language speakers, and of course we bring in the grandmothers that can connect us to that ancient wisdom of the galactic star nations. And so when we gather, you know, we're in our sacred space, and we bring in the big drum, the big grandmother drum, and we sing the songs to open the space. And, you know, so it kind of becomes more of a ceremony as we're in this conference. And, you know, you can really feel that energy elevate once those songs start, you know, being sang. And, you know, we call in the guardians of the land where we're at. You know, we call in everybody's guides and guardians, our spiritual, you know, connection, all of our higher selves, our oversouls, you know, so that everything is there on more of a spiritual level. And then, you know, we start to bring on our speakers who have their lectures and, you know, give them an hour to speak. And it's just amazing what information is coming through right now, which I'm sure you can certainly attest to. And what you're bringing in is amazing, too. So that's kind of the gist.
Yeah, the you know, what's interesting is that I noticed that when I first got there, we had a really beautiful black-tailed deer buck show up, you know, right in front of the window, and then all of a sudden, I was after I talked about the Raven Clan a little bit about the over there in Australia that I work with, the Brendan Murray, the king of the Raven tribe. Then the ravens showed up, and they were everywhere. And then the elk showed up. And I know Golden Light Eagle, he used to be Standing Elk. That was one of his previous names. And it was funny how the animals were all responding, and the cloud ships came in. And I saw some beautiful ships. We got photographs of these pinkish, kind of like pinkish white ships right over the mountain across the way, which was amazing. And I saw a big... Yeah. Golden ship take a turn right in front of me and then phase out. But a lot of activity, and it seems like more than one dimension came out to play.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it's so great because, you know, we do call this, we call these helpers in, and that's such a fundamental part of the teachings that are in the 1111. We have these earth guardians, and we have the bird nations, we have the elk nations, the deer, the owl. You know, we have the butterfly and the firefly, and, you know, there's just so many amazing messages that come from these beings that are, you know, original, you know, they're walking this earth on that natural level. And, you know, the idea is to reattune ourselves to that way of nature once again, you know, to bring us back into that original mind, that original heart. So, yeah, it's just so fun to see who shows up.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. The and the energies there were just amazing. When I walked in there, I had to release some stuff myself. You know,
myself. Yep.
No. Yeah, reconnecting with the elders there and that energy. I've had some past lives where I wore feathers. I have full memory of it and things like that. But it's this life I'm doing something a little different. But the you know, I have deep respect for, you know, the elders and the old ways. And even though I am a little goofy at times, you know, I hope people don't take it seriously. You know, I goof around with the chief a lot, you know, but highly respect his work.
Yeah. And we got to make it fun. You know, that's part of the joy of, we got to keep it light and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. The, yeah, I told him my, when I opened up my talk, I was saying that, yeah, I was given my, the chief gave me my Native American name. We go way back, and I told everybody it was Sparting Slug, you know, so but, I actually said that in the lodge once. They asked me what my name was, like, oh yeah, I've got my name, you know, I've had it for a while. And they go, what is it, you know, and they all just started busting up in there. But no, I like to have fun, you know, no matter what the circumstances. I, you know, keep it light and keep it up. But yeah, it was amazing. And the I can't imagine, like, after that conference, I noticed he packed it up and went and did a sweat lodge, you know, another ceremony right after the conference. I was toast, you know. I was done, but he's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going.
Yeah, he's pretty much nonstop. I mean, like, his life is his, you know, it's just full-on ceremony. And
yeah.
That's something I really, really enjoy, too. So it's just... it's just a great way to be in this lifetime, to get to work with the ceremony and learn from him and, you know, see how hard he works and support him. Cause he really truly does want to bring this out in a way of love. So he's very generous. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked him. You know, I haven't sun danced, and he pulled me into the ring and allowed me to smoke the pipe. And I thought that was a real honor. I think my whole life has been a sun dance, basically, but,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
To get through, just to get to where I'm at, I had to die a few times, you know, but, physically, I actually did die a couple times, but came back. But, anyway, the, it was quite interesting, but the, I love the drumming, you know, and the singing. I really want to get that here. And, we've done a lot of ceremony out here in the past. I'd love to get the drums out here and the singers out here and get you out here as well.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to come out there and be with you all out there, because it just looks amazing. And, you know, imagine what we can do together on the land there and working on that galactic level right there.
Yeah, yeah, because there's two ley lines that cross here. And we have the pyramid on one of the ley lines. And then we're in what they call the purple zone. You know, the government actually has these maps, and they map out places where there's extreme magnetic anomalies, and they're called purple zones. And we're right in the purple zone, which I already knew that. I mean, it's pretty obvious what goes on here.
Wow.
But you got to maintain these places. People don't realize, you know, you go to a vortex, it may be good or maybe not so good, you know, because, you know, we always say, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And even some of the ancestors coming in have been deeply wounded and have some rage and things, and rightly so, you know, because of what's been done to them. So, you know, it's important to, you know, I always say, welcome in the ascended ones, you know, like White Eagle and Buffalo Calf Woman and Rolling Thunder and those guys, you know, Grandfather Wallace and some of them. Bring them in first and then say, hey, can you help out any other relations that need healing or help? And then go to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's part of what we do as well, is, you know, the land will call us to it. And last year on 11/11, we were drawn to Atlanta, and, you know, it was kind of based on a dream, and it drew us into these, you know, beautiful land in Amicalola Falls. And it turned out that it was right along the Trail of Tears. And so, you know, there was just, there was a lot unfolding. And as it turned out, you know, Atlanta was really about Atlantis. And so we were doing a lot of work to clear some of those timelines. And in addition to what has taken place, you know, you could say in this lifetime on that land as well. So it was kind of heavy. And, you know, we did a lot of clearing. And boy, I mean, it just opened up these gates of beauty for us to step into this 11/11 conference. Just, you know, we're really anchoring in these new earth energies, and, you know, it's so much easier, like more gentle, a lot more graceful, and, you know, a lot more fun. So I was really, really happy this year just to have such an amazing group of people come, and, you know, they were just all about it, all in their heart. You know, we experienced unity in its finest. So it was just so much fun.
I know there's a lot of stuff done behind the scenes that people weren't seeing, and people helping each other out. And I know, you know, some people I talk to, I know we're kind of just barely hanging on. And I asked them, I asked them, I said, you got firewood, you know, and they go, no. And I got about a week, and I said, so we took up a little collection for them, you know, to get them some firewood for the winter, you know, and things like that. And, and that, I know it's a lot of people, people I know are going around and just gifting things, you know, and helping people out. And thanks. Yeah. You gifted me a nice shirt from the conference as well. So that was, I really appreciate that. But, it was really a loving, giving, supportive, group. You know, I really like the energy, and I know it's a couple of times some people's stuff came up, you know, but as they always do.
Absolutely.
But people were you know, standing up for each other and just saying, hey, you know, own your stuff, you know, it's like,
yeah, we have that accountability, you know, and it's great too when you have people there that understand what you're going through, and they can help you move through it really quickly. And a lot of it, we don't even know what it is. You know, it's just so old and so just locked in on a cellular level. And it can be overwhelming, but then it's just like this big expansion after that deep contraction that, you know, you're suddenly just, whoa, okay, I'm so glad I moved through that. And it'll continue to go, you know, more and more will unfold, and, you know, we'll have those moments of deep, deep release. And, you know, some people leave and they feel some grief. You know, for me, I feel grief because, you know, it's like I'm saying see you later to my family. You know, we get to spend all that beautiful time together, and it's just like, you don't want it to end.
Yeah, people cry when they leave here all the time, and I go, "You okay?" And they go, "Oh, I don't want to go." And, you know, they, and I said, "Well, create this, take this with you, and create it home."
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, that you can build this. You know, you are the center. You know, create your own center, and things like. Before I forget, I want to thank you for doing the work down there, because my grandmother and my great grandmother both are actually Cherokee, and you know, I've got their names and pictures and everything. It's kind of interesting, but you know, everybody says they're Cherokee, and I'm not an Elizabeth. I'm not Elizabeth Warren, you know. I mean, I don't even talk about it. I don't really talk about it that much. We're Scotch Irish Cherokee, basically, is what our lineage is, and you know, troublemakers on every level. So,
right.
We don't fit into the standard box, you know, that most people want you to fit into. Mm-hmm. But the it's kind of interesting. But I've always felt that it's you know, working with somebody doing ceremony here with other people, you know, different nations. You know, I always invite them to come out, each nation. I bring out the yogis and the lamas and everybody, you know, to make it more eclectic and so everybody can share.
Yeah, and to me it feels like this particular conference and ceremony really, really opened up the door for all nations to gather. And, you know, it was just so amazing because on 11/11, which was Monday, we started the day off by, you know, there was an Opagi with our Sundance group for, you know, they Opagi for Chief Golden Light Eagle to conduct the Sundance this year or this coming year on new land. You know, we're moving back to the Yankton Sioux Reservation. And, you know, so we had this amazing pipe ceremony where, you know, the pipe was offered and we asked Chief Golden Light Eagle to please, you know, create the ceremony for us. And immediately following that, we moved into that that world peace flag ceremony. And so here we had 195 flags of all the nations around the world, literally, you know, like brought into the space right after we smoked the pipe. And so it's like this, now it's like this big calling, you know, everybody's, you know, it's the invitation is there for us to come together, you know, all these different singers singing one song and all the nations coming together and moving hopefully more and more into that space of unity where we, you know, we move with each other instead of separately from each other. And so it's going to be really fascinating to see how everything plays out with, you know, this move of the Sundance back onto the reservation.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I noticed when I grabbed one of the flags there, I don't know, what's the total flags, do you know? Or I don't know how many nations were represented there, but a couple hundred.
Yeah, it was like, it was 195, if I understand that correctly. So, and you know, all these different regions of the world were all represented.
Yeah, I grabbed the Romanian one from Romania, I guess. And it was funny because a really good friend of mine is Romanian. And comes up to the ranch and helps me build the cabins and things like that. So I thought that was kind of interesting that I ended up grabbing that flag out of all the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Random. I guess nothing's random. You know, there's a reason behind
it.
But, yeah. The I noticed too there was some one of the grandmothers there, I keep forgetting her name. She has the kind of gray hair, short, and brain farting.
Is it Mary Lightweaver?
Yeah, Mary Lightweaver. Yeah. We were talking and hanging out and had a really good time and she was on overwhelmed there too. I had to go grab her a chair. I didn't want to interrupt the ceremony, but she was getting really, there was so much energy coming in, you know, and so people go, oh, he's getting a chair, you know, I could tell her, why is he getting a chair, you know, this, you know, it wasn't for me, it was for her, but it's funny how people get caught up in that, you know, they get toots going, but somebody's going, no, you know, don't, you know, don't. You know, they're going, it's disrespectful, don't get the chair. And I go, it's totally respectful. It's for a grandmother, you know.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah, we got to watch out for our elders. And
yeah, exactly.
Give them comfort and support, too.
Yeah, I'm going to be an elder. Actually, I am an elder, but I'm not going to mention it.
Right? not
but
yet.
We won't mention that on the air. it'll be our secret.
Our secret. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was fun. I really enjoyed it, and a lot of information shared. And you know, I have to apologize for not making it to the last what was the speaker's thing when we all stood up there and the ending ceremony there. For two reasons. One, I thought the ending ceremony was the flag ceremony on Monday, and that was my bad. And two, I was doing a counseling for somebody, and they were right in the middle of their stuff. And
I go,
should I go? Should I not? Should I go? And I go, well, I don't need the kudos, you know. I don't need the kudos, you know. And this person needs my help a lot more, so
sure.
I stuck with that.
That's good.
And yeah. But
it was a beautiful kind of ending to the ceremony on Sunday evening. You know, we put it on the schedule, the special guests that, you know, it was like surprise special guests for the last segment. And it ended up being the audience. You know, we put random people in the audience to just kind of share a little bit about who they are and how they got there and, you know, just sort of their connection to these ways. And it was really beautiful. It was a great honoring because every single person that comes holds wisdom. You know, each person can be a speaker at this conference, you know, because we're all doing this, you know, we all have wisdom. And so, you know, it was just fun to bring some of that in and really, you know, just make it all cohesive. You know, it's very collaborative in that way.
Oh, yeah.
So then, yeah, and then we just moved into a beautiful kind of thank you ceremony, and you know, there was a lot of people there, so it was a lot of energy still moving there at the end with everybody saying thank you and, you know, giving hugs and having that final connection.
Yeah, there was somebody, when I went out to the hotel there, I was out in front of the hotel, and I kept feeling this really strong energy to the west, I go, something's over there. There's something really powerful over there. And I said, we got to go over there. And I got a friend to take me over there. And we went over there. And it turns out there's this, the Dow Center there.
Yeah, that's where we actually had our, we had two conferences there.
Yeah, and they told me you had two conferences. And I was hoping to meet, you know, the Master Chin there, but he was out of town. But boy, you could feel the energy. I go, I need to go over there. I need to make a connection, you know, and we did, we connected with them and I left with them the pictures of Kuan Yin that we've taken and all the other things. So we'll be in touch soon. And they want me to come back out and speak there later. Looks like.
Great. Yeah.
While we're there, there's two things. I went into the room where he teaches. And I walked right over and I stopped on this one spot and I turned around and I go, this is where he stands. And people go, yep, that's right where he stands. And you could feel the energy there, the vortex that's created from the work he's doing. And then we took a picture out towards the mountain behind him. And that's where we got these beautiful ships, you know. Kathy took it and she took some pictures of these beautiful pink white light ships, which are Pleiadian. Most likely, and I feel that mountain has a base in it. There's some kind of a base, and there's two things. You've got the Tao Monastery there, and then just behind it in the mountains, you've got a major activity going on behind it.
Yeah, there's that whole area right there is so rich with what's really going on. You know, there's Long's Peak on the west, and then there's the Twin Sisters toward the east. And, you know, so you've got that masculine and then you've got that feminine, and right down in that basin is right where the land sits, where the Dao house is. And at one time there was, you know, we had really big flooding that happened right through there. And so like literally there was this mudslide that brought down this huge part of that mountain, and it just exposed all of these, you know, the stone nations that have been holding so much information. That, you know, they just were like releasing everything and, you know, karmic release and just, you know, it was pretty powerful. And so, and then what I also heard about that land is that that was a place where a lot of the indigenous tribes would meet, and they would lay down their arms and have peace talks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot more going on there too. And then there's also this Catholic church that was there called St. Malo, and it burned down. You know, so there's like this big purification going on with the water and the fire. And, you know, it's just like, and it was so great to be there and do ceremony there just to help, you know, integrate all of that back into the land and help things move out. And, you know, because so many people come up to Estes Park for Rocky Mountain National Park. And, you know, whether they're taking a stone or they're breathing a fresh breath or they're taking a picture, you know, they're taking something. But mm-hmm. our intention is we go and we're giving back. You know, we're infusing our love and appreciation back into the elements that are there. And you can really feel it. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, there's some, you know, that's where that, this is really off subject, but that's where that weird 411 stuff that they're talking about where a lot of kids have been disappearing up there.
Oh,
And really strange. And there's some three clawed creature, you know, that... I don't know if anybody's seen it or know what it looks like. We did some remote viewing on it. It wasn't pretty, and it's actually dimensional. But people are trying to blame it on Bigfoot, and I said no. I said Bigfoot would be protecting you from it. He wouldn't You wouldn't be doing that. You know, it would be the opposite. They get a little pissed off if you go into their area unannounced and you're not respectful. They'll let you know, but. Other than mm-hmm. that, you know, especially kids, you know, if anything, Bigfoot would be protecting the kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's actually a very, very big hub, you know, that was the word that came to me. I spent some time in meditation over by the river. And, you know, I did a sacred pipe ceremony just by myself. And the land just sort of started talking to me. And I looked up and there was this rock outcropping. And they were telling me that that was like a interdimensional hub where craft or, you know, light beings and ships can, it's like a safe zone. They can stop and park, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, have a safe zone there. And then the Sasquatch are the ones that guard that spot. So it was really potent. And yeah. So there's a lot of activity up there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you can just feel those granite mountains and the crystals in them and everything else. They're just alive. Mm-hmm. And with energy. I'm going to do a show on that with, I think it's Pilates, or I can't remember his last name, but he's going to be on the show here pretty quick, and we'll talk about that. And we're going to do some major remote viewing and really look into what's going on. But what I get is there's multiple things going on, you know, and the Stanley Hotel's right there where they film The Shining.
Yeah.
And did you go up to the Stanley yet? Did you go inside of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love going in there. It feels like I'm stepping onto the Titanic when I go in there.
I don't know how it feels for you.
You know, it's just got this really, like, really cool old feeling to it. It's like from another time.
Exactly. I felt the same thing. It's funny you mentioned that. And I didn't feel anything negative there. I felt there were ghosts, there were spirits, but they're just really attached to that time and what went on there. And I know there's, I guess Flora is the woman that was there, and I guess one of the owner's wives, and played piano, and sometimes they'd play the piano and things would move around and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I didn't feel any real negative, more like happy ghosts just messing around.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. They actually had, they got some footage. I think this was maybe about a year ago or so. But an actual black bear made its way inside into the lobby of the Stanley Hotel. And I was just walking around and got on the couch and he's just checking it out. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, they're pretty. I know here, you know, black bears, I tell people, are freaking out. You know, we have black bears here. And I said, you know, if you even see a black bear around here, you're lucky, because they're so skittish and you know, you just don't see them. I know they're hunted up here too. So every once in a while you hear a trash can get smashed, you know, and everybody's freaking out and they go, what is that? What is that? And I said, it's probably a bear. And they go, they're all freaking out. I said, you'll never see it. And I said, go try to see it. You know, you won't even see it. It'll be gone before you even get there, you know, and
wow.
Sure enough, you know, they do. They're just, you know, you look up and raid your garbage can now and then, but you just don't see them.
Hmm.
I've been here 30 something years and I've only seen two, and one ran across the road right in front of me. I almost hit it. And then I saw another young one, a baby one, just going across the field, you know, from a distance, and that's it. Mountain lions, that's a different story. we do have some mountain lions around here, but they don't, you know, they don't bother anybody. Especially if we're doing any kind of a ceremony here or conference or things like that, they keep, you know, the more people, they just keep their distance.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, there's so much that went on there. I know I was having a lot of communication with the elders, and some of the elders that have crossed over were talking to me before I even went to the conference. And some I didn't even know crossed over. I was so happy. I go, God, I can't wait to see these guys. I haven't seen them in a long time. Mm-hmm. I was all excited, you know, I was having like telepathic conversations with them. And then I found out they're not here anymore in the physical. And I kind of went, whoops, you know.
I know. The veil is so thin.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that are crossing over. It seems like that happens every year about this time. It's kind of interesting dynamic, you know. It can be fun to play, you know, because we have that close connection and it's easier to get to at this time. And
exactly.
There's a lot happening for sure.
They could do so much more from the other side, and they realize that once they cross over, and then they make alliances with other beings, like huge protection alliances and other beings like that. So, you know, you know, people go, oh, they didn't finish their work. And I go, well, don't worry, it'll get finished. You know?
They're doing the big work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was really, when I was in, I think it was Iowa, I went to a conference there. And they had the, you know, we did the snake dance there. And I just loved that. I thought that was...
Oh, yeah, so fun.
You can feel the energy when you jump, you know, at the very end, when you jump across the veil or the line between worlds, you feel, you know, it's palpable, you know, it's like you can feel the energy there when you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Shedding the old skin and stepping into the new reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely feel it.
Exactly.
And that's always so fun. Yeah. We had Chief Blue Star Eagle, which is Eagle's brother. He passed. He dropped his robe 2 years ago, and he was always the guy that would run the snake dance for us. And he'd get going dancing, and that drum would be going, and you know, watch everybody just releasing from their old, you know, selves and stepping into this amazing new body.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's an amazing guy. He's the energy that he carried was so strong. I mean, he was just like a, I don't know, strong as a bear, basically, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I loved it.
Yeah, so gentle.
He just carried it. You know, he's like a tiger, you know, you just felt the energy. but he was, you know, super nice guy and very, you know, I had a good time talking with him in the past, and that was quite a while ago. Actually, I still have a good time talking with him, but
he's working with everybody right now.
They're still with us. They're still working with us. But I noticed that there's a lot of grief, you know, like I didn't finish, you know, like I was supposed to protect this or do this and stuff like that. And I know in a lot of the ceremonies, that's what gets cleared. You know, you clear that up, just not only our stuff, but stuff of the relatives and things like that. And I'm seeing now that these hookups are happening, you know, and they're working with lion beings now, you know, these 17-foot tall, seventh-dimensional lion beings. And talk about finishing the work or protection. You can't get better protection than that. And, the, you know, the seventh-dimensional you know, ancestors, you know, Rolling Thunder, all these guys are coming in now really strong, and they're closer. They're so much closer now. So,
yeah,
you know, it's getting done.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how we can work with them? I mean, are they here helping us in some way?
There's so many coming here right now. The Pleiadians are coming in. They have the most genetic stock here on the planet. They started the colonies of Atlantis and Lemuria that kind of went afoul. The Atlanteans went into technology and control of others, just like they're doing now, you know. But you know, they're coming in really strong. And the Orion Council of Light, which a lot of people don't understand, that Orion's a very big system. And the ancient Lyrians actually settled in Orion, the Pleiades and the Hades system, and then they came to Earth, Mars, and Maldek. And Maldek blew up, and it's the asteroid belt now. But they're coming in, and they went to war with the reptilians and the tall grays and things like that, and they finally cleaned up their system of these guys, and now they're coming to Earth, you know, to help liberate the Earth. So you've got the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, you know, the Therians, which are fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional. Some are humanoid cat beings, and some are panther beings, and some are lion beings. The seventh dimensional ones are lion beings. And in ancient time, they were the protectors of the gods. So they were standing right along the ancient Anunnaki until they fell. And when they fell, they left. They said, "You've broken universal law, so we can't work with you anymore." And they left, but now they're returning to help us, little mini forgotten gods down here. They're helping us remember who we are and find our own courage, our own lion within us. And you've got Arcturians and all these different beings now are pressing in. And it's like Creator's Army, whatever you want to call it, is coming forward, pressing in on the Earth. And the Earth is ascending, and there's all this garbage caught in the middle that's all being exposed for us to see. And that's why we're seeing all the chaos right now. Everything is coming up. Everything is being exposed. And it's because it's caught in the middle, and the Earth is throwing it off, and the higher dimensional beings are not allowing it to go. You know, they're coming in big time, so it can't continue. So there's a big cleanup, you know, but we got to do our part. You know, I was talking today to somebody, and I was saying, you know, it's so important right now to release the past. And I'm not saying let go of your ancestral knowledge or things like that, but release the pain and the suffering and the woundedness and all that stuff, because if you don't forgive and let that go, you're not going to be frequency specific to the ascension that's going on. And the biggest weapon you have in your arsenal is forgiveness, because when you let go and you release that and you forgive that, it goes to whoever perpetrated the act. It goes back into their field, and they have an experience around it and for their lessons, you know. And so, you know, I tell people, you know, you can't hold grudges. You can't be angry. You can't be divided. You know, we can't do that anymore if we're going to make this shift. And and that's what these other guys do. That's all they do, is they create division, you know, between nations, between cultures, between genders, you know, everything. That's all they do is try to create division. And that's not really working anymore. They've played all their division cards and everything else, and they're running out of cards.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
there's just so many people on the path of ascension, and you're right. You know, that's a big part of the work that I do too. And I love that you brought up the Orion Council of Light, because, you know, that was something that was going to come through during my talk, and for some reason it wasn't coming in just yet. And you know, it was just kind of this awareness about you know, what extreme duality we're in right now. Like, we are seeing such far spectrums of division, and yet, you know, here we come together in this group, and we're really in that unified space, you know. So we've got these really expansive, polarized levels that we're working in, and the Orions, you know, the teaching talks about how there's the 12 lords of light and the 12 lords of darkness, and you know, these councils of 12, you know, the dark sit and they face that center light. And then the light council mm-hmm. sits and they face that center light. So, you know, here we've got, they're both looking toward that one place, which is the number, you know, that's the 13th dimension. You know, that's unity, mm-hmm. that's love. And so, yeah. you know, here, it's just great to know that they're here and they're working with us to sort of kind of come into balance and overcome this extreme duality. And I'm just, yeah. I'm excited to start working with them, knowing that that's what's happening.
I agree. Yeah, I always tell people there's a big difference. Like, negative isn't negative. Negative is an energy. Like, mm-hmm. the female is more of the negative polarity. The male is more of the positive polarity. And it's just energy. And we have the male and female within ourselves, you know, like both sides within ourselves. And there's a big difference between, you know, yin-yang, positive-negative, things like that, and evil. It's different. And people don't understand the difference. And I said, you know, you can be positive and negative, and you know, you can be grounded or you can be a spirit or whatever, you know, it's all one. But at the same time, there are beings that are operating outside of, you know, universal law in total service to self. And, you know, they don't have your highest and best good, you know, in, you know, in their minds. And so we have to recognize that. And we have a saying here,
absolutely.
Just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. So, you know,
along with that, too, you know, it's like, it's important, too, to recognize that it's not all external, that, you know, this is all within us. You know, we are the lords of light and we are the lords of darkness, you know, and exactly. that's when you say we have to do our part. It's about bringing love to those darker aspects of who we are. And we do that through that way of forgiveness. And, mm-hmm. you know, Chief Golden Eagle, you know, he's just such a master. He practices instantaneous forgiveness. And, you know, so getting to be around him and seeing him do that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, okay, I think I can do this too. And so just have fun with it. Just practice. Like, okay, I can literally make a choice in this moment to either be completely disempowered or to see it in a new way and walk away from this experience empowered. And, you know, that's truly doing the work. It's creating new perceptions of your reality. And we can mm-hmm. do that constantly. And just, you know, like that sheds that old trauma and those old belief systems that run us, which are ways for externalized forces to come in and work with us and not such great ways. So the more that we can step into that balance and that loving of all of who we are, that's what helps us get to the other side. And that's what brings us back into unity.
Yeah, I agree. I know it's there's a lot of, I love what Candace Owen talks about, the victim role, you know, and they keep perpetuating this victim role, and it's so disempowering, and there's no personal responsibility involved in it.
Right.
And I'm not saying there aren't people out there with bad attitude that do bad things, but, you know, they own you unless you forgive them and move on.
Exactly.
And release the past, they own you. You are tied to them. And you.
Yeah.
And,
anytime you're angry at somebody, you're giving them all your power.
Exactly. And the other guys feed off that. They want it.
Yeah.
That keeps their realm alive. Is the more
totally.
Angry you get, the more their realm continues. You know, that's people miss that one. I don't know why. I just, it's not worth it. I go, what's worth joy? And I go, how much?
Yeah, you're, go ahead.
No, yeah, I go, how much gold, you know, would you take to be happy, you know, like this? How much gold would you give? And they go, well, you know, how much gold would you give to become totally Christed or ascended, you know? And you ask them that question, I go, well, I guess all of it, because I could just manifest it from that level. And I go, wrong answer, you know, you're still attached to the gold. But but basically and, you know, it's just frog skins, you know, it helps you get through the day. But you know, I tell them, I said, you know, that's your natural state. You're a loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess. That's what you are at the core of your being. Mm-hmm. So we have to stop giving it up, you know.
Exactly. And the time is now, and we have so much support on so many levels. So
exactly. I just laugh at diversity now. It's funny, you know. You could get some of the biggest, ugliest, darkest entities show up, and you know, they kind of say who they are or whatever, and they do a little dance, and I just start laughing. To me, it's funny, I go, hey, hey, check out my little friend behind me. Yeah, 17-foot-tall lion bean. Have fun with him. You know, you want to dance, go dance for that guy. You know, and it usually takes care of business. But, yeah, it's imploding now. The good news is the energy that's coming in is creating a lot of chaos, but it's a good thing because chaos is change and it's imploding. The old world is imploding in on itself, and so we need to do what's necessary to flow with, you know, this shift to become frequency specific to where everything is going.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just shifting in so many ways and so many dimensions, you know. And you know, one of the topics that came up was the Mandela effect, and
it's
just kind of funny to hear, you know, some people remember it this way, and then you remember it that way, and you know, we're all right, you know, it's all reality for us, and you know, it's just, so when I feel like it's going to lead us somewhere, you know, like we're all going to finally be on the same like timeline, so to speak, you know, where we're all seeing it in the same way. And that's going to be that place of creation where we're really truly creating a whole new reality with the beauty that's existing here right now.
I know it's too, is that I ask people, okay, how many people have been socially programmed? Raise your hand. You know, and half the people won't raise their hand.
Right.
You know? And I go, you know, I just found out I was socially programmed. I don't even watch CNN or any of those news things, which is all total social programming. But it was funny because I thought for sure there was this story going around about Mr. Rogers being a war hero, and he has tattoos all over his arms and this and that and all this story. And I've heard this story for a long time, and I told people about it. And they go, yeah, now they're making a movie, you know, Mr. Rogers, and they show him as a war hero, all this stuff, you know.
What? Wow.
Yeah. And then I find out that it's not true. He doesn't have tattoos. He wasn't a war hero. And they talk about his whole life. He was bullied a lot when he was a kid and things like that. And I'm going, are you kidding me? I go, are you kidding me? And I totally thought, you know, for sure that was real. And then I go, whoa, I caught myself, you know, I got hit by the social programming, you know, and you know, and I always say, you got to be brutally honest with yourself, and there's always a lie and believe, and there's always a lie and alien, as the chief told me. I love that one. He said, and almost everything we know or have been taught, you know, we need to use discernment and, you know, run it through our own inner sensitivity, our own BS meter, and see what's real and what's beneficial.
That's the key. It's all about discernment. Yeah. You know, it's just, we have to be so on right now. And it's good because it's getting us to feel it in our own heart. You know, it's not looking outside of us. It's finding it within. And you know this through your own, you know, how it feels in your body. If something doesn't feel right, you know, acknowledge that and ask what's there, what is the truth, you know? And so I just feel like the more we can do that, the more the truth will really prevail.
Yeah, they say you got to get back into the Buddha mind, you know, the fresh mind where, you know, you have the eyes of innocence and you're in awe of everything and you don't know. You know, I can say without a doubt, there's a lot of things I don't know. And I'm not sure about anything unless I've had personal experiences, and even that personal experience may have been tainted by my belief system. So I just have no attachment to what's unfolding around me, and I let it reveal itself, and my truth is flexible. You know, it expands as more knowledge comes in.
Yeah. And we can change our mind as more information comes in, you know, okay, I got more stuff to let go. Cool.
Yeah.
I can keep moving. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always flexible. But we've got, unfortunately, we're coming up to the end of the hour. And what's the best way that people can contact you or get a hold of you?
We've got some amazing things already kind of lining themselves up for 2020. 2020 is going to be a really big year. So you can visit starknowledge.org, And a couple of the events that we're going to start working on are the spring equinox. The location hasn't solidified yet, but it's feeling like it might be around Chaco Canyon. Farmington, yeah. Shiprock, something over there is calling us.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be in March for the spring equinox. And then we have a fun little gathering that's lining up in Laguna Beach for the 444. So April 4th, mm-hmm. 2020, it's called the Honoring the Galactic Goddess in Laguna Beach. So there's a lot of details, just about Chief Golden Light Eagle, about the symbols, these universal and spiritual laws of creation. You can order books from there as well. And then, you can always join our mailing list as well. And that can mm-hmm. keep you posted on anything that's developing for Star Knowledge and events. And, we do the 11/11 conference annually. And it's usually a 3-day gathering. And we're really excited to have you back. I mean, people are coming up to me and they're like, you need to have James there for at least 2 hours. And I'm like, yes, we need to do that. So we would love to have you back with us.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, there's so much going on. I know you do a lot of like life coaching and things like that. Is what's the best way are you still making that available to people?
Yeah, I do breakthrough shadow coaching, and you can find me on EdenArising.com. I do a Healing Your Heart program, as well as breakthrough shadow coaching, which is it really helps people connect more deeply into those places that have been shut off and denied, and but there's programs in there that are running us that keep us in that victim mentality. So the idea is to bring love and light to those places that were those belief systems that were created so long ago, and find the gift in those experiences so that we can stop self-sabotaging and move into a more co-created life. And right mm-hmm. now, these manifestation energies, I mean, the sky's the limit. So I would be honored to help anybody that's ready to step in and kind of stand in that fire and really look more deeply and find more love for themselves. So you can find me on EdenRising.com.
Yeah, a lot of people go, well, that's all woo-woo. What good is that? I hear people making statements like that, and I go, if consciousness creates reality and you're holding on to all these old wounds and traumas and grudges and unforgiven stuff, I go, how impractical is that not to get clearing? I go, I don't even understand why you'd even, unless you just want to make money, you're trapped in 3D reality and things like that. But even so, you're not going to be abundant if you've got a lot of patterns of lack and a lot of attitudes around wealth, that have to be healed.
Yeah.
So anyway, you look at it. And if you do make a lot of money, look how many people you can help, with that. So,
and even if you do make a lot of money, there's possibly a lot of fear that's still resonating in that field because you don't want to lose the money,
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Being in that abundant service to self, reality just keeps bringing more in and more flows, and you're just moving so much more in that way that it just builds mm-hmm. and builds and builds, and I'm so thankful to witness that actually happening right now with the conferences too. Like we've stepped into these new earth energies and to hear the vendors, they all did really, really well. And it was a sellout event my first time in 6 years where we had a sellout event, and it was standing room only at one mm-hmm. point. I'm like, yes, this is so exciting. People have money to spend now and they're investing. I call it investing in themselves. So when you're coming, you're receiving, but you're giving, and it's so reciprocal. And it's just, I love how beautiful it all came together.
Yeah. We had a friend Robert there, and he brought all these silver coins and was just giving them to everybody,
I know.
And,
that was so amazing.
Yeah. And things like that. And I think it's time, it's really time to start, don't sit on it. It's not doing you any good. And the real joy comes from helping others. And, if somebody doesn't have food to eat, they don't have gas, they don't have whatever, help them out. I mean, there's no reason. And I think we're going to shift here really soon, that we're going to have a whole different system, a completely different legal and financial system and everything. It's in the works right now, where there will be a lot more abundance, and we can, take this money and put it to proper places. And I know some people involved in this stuff, I the first thing they do is say, I'm going to buy a triple decker boat, or I'm going to drive buy this new car, and I'm going to do this other stuff. And I go, why don't you take care of the basics first? You know, there's a lot of people without mm-hmm. food and without housing and without heat, you know, and things like that. Let's just deal with that, you know, and there's probably plenty of leftover where you can get that boat, you know, and then take one of them out
Absolutely.
On the boat, you know, if you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Take me.
Yeah. So you might catch some fish and send them home with a lot of fish, you know. It's like,
right.
You know, just, you know, we got to rethink things, you know, because this old way just doesn't work. And I think it's coming to a close. It's coming to an end.
And I personally feel like 2020 is going to be a really pivotal year. I know we always say that, you know, and it's like, okay, this is the year. This is the year. But just the way that things are moving and shifting so quickly. I love it. Yeah.
It's already started. I mean, this November, it was the big kickoff. And I have some inside knowledge about what's going down. And it's been launched, kicked off, and it's in the basket now. Everything's going to move really fast, you know, throughout 2020 and on. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be some major changes. I just got a message. We hit the end of the hour. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And we'll have to get you back on soon. And let us know when these events are coming up, when you have locations, and we'll be sure and let our audience know where, you know, where these are happening and how they can get in touch with you to participate in these events.
All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It was a good time, and we look forward to hanging out more.
Great. And, you know, with the Star Knowledge, is it starknowledge.com?
Starknowledge.org.
Okay. Yeah. So if you want to find out more, go to starknowledge.org. All right. Well, it's James Gillen signing off, As You Wish Talk Radio, and also eSETI Stargate on YouTube. Check it out, and soon to be on the Edge of Wonder. So check it out, and we'll talk soon. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. Good night.